produced by Cecile K. Dade and is a BBC Audio Scotland production for BBC Radio 3. And do remember, if you'd like a request for a future show, including all styles or periods of jazz, just email jrr@bbc.co.uk, or you can write to the following address: Jazz Record Requests, BBC Scotland, Pacific Quay, Glasgow, G51 1DA.
On BBC iPlayer.
Gareth.
Simple question, really. Do you think you're up to this?
A brand new drama starring Joseph Fiennes and Jodie Whittaker.
The real tragedy of being afraid isn't what it does to us, it's what it takes.
Based on the award-winning play.
I will be the one who takes any and all flack. I will be the story, which means that you, guys, you should feel free.
Dear England. Watch on BBC iPlayer.
Now over on Radio 3 Unwind, you can hear Classical Wind Down with Niall Breslin. You can listen on your digital radio or just ask your smart speaker to play Radio 3 Unwind. The Sunday feature coming up this evening here on BBC Radio 3 considers the impact of AI on creative authenticity. The Messy Guide to AI is at 7 o'clock. But now, here on Radio 3 at 5 o'clock, it's time for our weekly dedicated hour of early music. Here's Hannah French.
Yes, welcome to the Early Music Show, Radio 3's home of Bach and beyond. Today, the trials and tribulations of Thomas Weelkes. Hosanna to the Son of David by Thomas Weelkes. Jeremy Summerlee conducted Oxford Camerata. And so the story of Weelkes begins in the Sussex countryside. Queen Elizabeth I on the throne, and the first date of any certainty, the 25th of October 1576, when a young Thomas had his baptism in Elsted, where his father was rector. A wholesome start then to a musical life in which we know more about his misdemeanours than his good character. We'll come to all that, but for now, let's stick to the positives and assume that he could well have been one of the choristers at Winchester College, equipping him with the finest choral education, trends from home and abroad. It certainly served him well when, as a teenager, he entered the service of a noble patron, Edward Darcy, groom of Queen Elizabeth's Privy Chamber. Precocious? Yes. By the time he was 20, and admitting himself that my years yet are unripened, he published his first collection of madrigals, fashionable Italian-inspired numbers that have all the hallmarks of the musical word-painting genius he'd become. At 21, he lands the job as organist at Winchester College and promptly publishes his second book of madrigals, a heady mix of the profoundly serious and seriously sprightly, like this. On the Plains, Fairy Trains.
On the plains, fairy trains, where it were a thrilling measures, where a thrilling measures, set us plain, fairy stay, let us stop set measures.
Bounce down,
complaints, any threats, what a threatening measures, what a threatening measures, such as plain, very stain, that the stocks it measures. Begin to come in quickly, thick and threefold. Now they dance, now they dance, now they dance, now they dance. Pleasant there to be old, pleasant, pleasant there to be old. La 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 la. Yes, begin to come in quickly, thick and threefold. Now they dance, now they dance, now they dance, now they dance.
Thank you.
Two Madrigals by Thomas Wilkes, On the Plains, Fairy Trains, sung by the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Christopher Hogwood. And then we were back with Jeremy Sumley and Oxford Camerata for Thule, the Period of Cosmography. They paint a portrait of a young Wilkes, well-educated, musically accomplished, but also operating in an environment that fed curiosity about the world with news of scientific expeditions and adventures. We just heard about Iceland's volcano Hekla and also Mount Etna, but with their physical fires carrying a double meaning in a young lover's heart. Now, the madrigal craze that swept through the castles, courts and countryside of Elizabethan England was propelled not only by Wilkes, but John Farmer, think Fair Phyllis I Saw Sitting All Alone, Orlando Gibbons, William Byrd, John Wilby, and, perhaps most famously, Thomas Morley.
Now is the month of May, when marriotts are playing, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. Now is the month of May, when marriotts are playing, each with his body rest upon the greeny grass, la 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 la, each with his body rest upon the greeny grass, la 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 la. The spring dead on in bed of love in the sand.
Now is the month of May by Thomas Morley, sung by Amarcord, directed by Michael Metzler. Thomas Wilkes may have aspired to the light touch of Thomas Morley's madrigals, but he bridged the realms of aristocratic musical japes and serious church services with a mind inclined to adventure, whether to far-off lands or the depths of emotions. If his reputation and behaviour was not always appropriate, through his music he knew how to hit the right note. Look no further than Morley's death in 1602, when Wilkes penned A Remembrance of My Friend.
Thank you.
Vox Luminous and their director Lionel Meunier with Death Hath Deprived Me, Thomas Wilkes's tribute to his friend Thomas Morley. I'm Hannah French. This is the Early Music Show on BBC Radio 3. Thomas Wilkes, our muse today, a composer who captures the imagination both through his intensely creative music, but also cutting the figure of a flawed musician prone to misdeeds and certainly in possession of a potty mouth. Well, more of that in a short while, but he's still a young man and we meet him next at a significant junction in his career. It's 1602-ish. He's in his mid-20s, established at Winchester College, where he's begun writing sacred music for the liturgy and got himself some significant credentials in the form of a bachelor's degree from New College, Oxford. Then a new opportunity arises in Chichester, and it's a big promotion, organist and choirmaster at the cathedral. signifying Thomas Wilkes's move from Winchester to Chichester. The Magnificat from his evening service for trebles sung by Winchester Cathedral Choir, conducted by David Hill, and the Te Deum from his morning service sung by the choir of Chichester Cathedral, conducted by Charles Harrison. Come autumn 1602, Wilkes is still in a great place. He's paid handsomely to sing as a lay clerk, play the organ, train the singers, and write music for one of the most prestigious historic cathedrals in England. In Chichester, he finds fortune, creative fulfilment, and also love. Elizabeth, the daughter of a wealthy merchant, raises his social status and happiness. Though this is Wilkes we're talking about here, so a bump was possibly on display at the wedding. So Chichester, a success? Certainly initially. It was without doubt a musically rich environment centred on the cathedral and society homes, even if Wilkes always revelled in the darker shades of entertainment and worship. Thomas Wilkes's Give Ear, O Lord, the choir of Sidney Sussex College, Cambridge, conducted by David Skinner, and before it, one of his pavans for viols, played by fretwork. By all accounts, Wilkes wrote copious amounts of music for services at Chichester Cathedral, but most have not survived the centuries. What has been preserved is a reputation for troublemaking. In 1609, Wilkes disappeared without permission during a visit from the bishop. In 1613, he was seen drunk in public. In 1616, a report from the choir to the Bishop of Chichester reads, "I know not of any of the choir or other officers of the church to be common drunkards, save only Thomas Wilkes, who divers times and very often comes so disguised from the tavern or alehouse into the choir as is much to be lamented. For in these humours he will both curse and swear most dreadfully, and so profane the service of God." How unusual was this? Hard to tell. The cathedral was not full of saints, and Wilkes emerges as a larger-than-life character who wound up once too often in the pub. With some considerable self-awareness, he wrote the madrigal, "Come, Sirrah Jack Ho," an advert for tobacco, really, complete with tavern banter and rhythmic devices known as hockets, depicting drunken hiccups. The group Pífaro with Thomas Wilkes's song of the tavern, "Come, Sirrah Jack Ho." Our early music show on Radio 3, taking us beyond Bach today to Thomas Wilkes, the certified rogue of Elizabethan madrigals and maverick of ecclesiastical music. Well, his delinquent goings-on didn't abate despite reprimands. Is the legend really true that the inebriated Wilkes relieved himself from the organ loft over the dean and clergy during a service? It's the sort of thing you'd like to dismiss as apocryphal, but archives suggest a fine for something very much like this. Silas Walston playing a voluntary by Thomas Wilkes. Some of Wilkes's japes are funny, some embarrassing. Others suggest more of a tormented artist, unable to cope with the demands of life. But there's little to go on in terms of his personality. No letters, no diaries. We do know that he increasingly spent time visiting London, though, to the extent that when he published his fourth and last set of madrigals, he splashed across the title page that he was a gentleman of the Chapel Royal. He's not listed in the archives there, but there's every chance he was a gentleman extraordinary, adept for special occasions, and some evidence that he wrote music for them. The anthem, O Lord, Grant the King a Long Life, is a good case in point. It's a much more difficult work, one that called for the sort of expanded forces that were only available at court. Mark Dooley directed the voices of Resurgam and the English Cornet and Sackbut Ensemble in O Lord, Grant the King a Long Life, Thomas Wilkes's anthem most likely written for the Chapel Royal. Whatever his formal connection to the institution, Wilkes was certainly operating in exalted circles in London, associated with composers like Thomas Tomkins and John Bull. Had his notoriety stalled the advancement of his career? Maybe. But he was certainly admired for his music. What's striking is the way in which he absorbed not only the glamour, but the grime of the capital too. Thomas Wilkes's Cries of London captured the everyday bustle of Elizabethan streets. These were the actual melodies of the vendors and hawkers peddling their wares. It's the humanity in Thomas Wilkes's music like this that helps us to understand, to appreciate how it is that he lands his word setting so convincingly elsewhere. Perhaps most famously in the madrigal As Vesta Was from Latmos Hill Descending, a clever musical display of flattery. The story goes that Vesta and virgin nymphs rush to join a maiden queen, Oriana, also known as Elizabeth I, who's ascending the hill and turns out to be more captivating than the Roman goddesses themselves. But listen to the way that the voices ascend and descend the hill, two by two and three by three, before the cheering crowd ring out, "Long live fair Oriana." As Vesta Was from Latmos Hill Descending, Thomas Wilkes's masterful madrigal sung by Ifagellini, directed by Robert Hollingworth. Late in his short life, Wilkes set madrigals aside in favour of church music, but his drunkenness increasingly caused public scandal. By 1617, the bishop had had enough, and he was dismissed from his post at Chichester. Although he was reinstated as organist, things didn't improve. In fact, they spiralled after his wife Elizabeth died in 1622. It seems he became erratic and spent more time in London, yet he had conscience enough to make a will to repay a friend, Henry Drinkwater, meat, drink and lodging, and bequeath his estate to his three children the day before he died. Drinkwater buried him at St Bride's, a city church on Fleet Street, in 1623. Merriment and melancholy sit eternally on each of Wilkes's shoulders. His music still performed, but what a legacy he could have left without his demons keeping him on the periphery of things. So we'll end with music that seems to sum that up. The heartbreak of When David Heard and triumph of Alleluia, I Heard a Voice.
When David heard,
Alleluia, I Heard a Voice by Thomas Wilkes, performed by the Choir of King's College, Cambridge, directed by Stephen Clebury. And it brings this week's edition of the Early Music Show to an end. It was presented by Hannah French and produced in Salford by Jess Walters. If you'd like to listen to some more English choral music, on yesterday's episode of Key Changes, Radio 3's Essential History of Classical Music, Gillian Moore and the historian Michael Wood explore the way Elizabeth I harnessed the power of music in our politics. That's available to listen to now on BBC Sounds. And the Early Music Show is back in 2 weeks' time with Hannah presenting music from last year's London International Festival of Early Music.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music.
Within a short space of time, you will find something to capture that mood that you want from your morning. You can never go wrong with brilliant music to start the day.
Breakfast with Tom McKinney.
There really is a flood of sunlight. Back tomorrow morning from 6:30. Listen on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
You're very welcome if you're just joining us here on BBC Radio 3 this Sunday evening. We're now at 6 o'clock. It's time for Choral Evensong. And it was first broadcast live on Wednesday from St David's Cathedral. Much of the music is by Thomas Tonkins, who was born in St David's in 1572. But the service begins now with an introit by Thomas Tallis, O Lord, give thy Holy Spirit.